Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And I have a question for all you HR leaders out there. Are you tired of pulling manual spreadsheets from all your different HR systems to try to wrap your head around all those metrics around your workforce? Are you tired of taking this slow, manual, painful process and trying to make sense of all your data so you can tell a data-driven story, but it's just not turning out exactly what you want it to be? Well, look no further, because that's why Employee Cycle built your very own People Dashboard, a product that has pre-built integration connectors to all of the most popular HR systems you're using. Systems like Bamboo HR, Namely, ADP, TriNet, Zenefits, 15.5, Office 5, Reflective, you name it. We're able to pull all that data into one place so you can view, track, share, and analyze all your people data together. If you want to learn more, go to employeecycle.com. You can schedule a free demo, or you can actually sign up for a free trial and check it out on your own. But that's enough about us, because we have a great guest today. So please help me welcome to the show, Rebecca Riott. She's the VP of Global HR at RepTrack. And today we're going to discuss the intersection of HR and crisis communication. Rebecca, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Rebecca, welcome.
Hi, Bruce. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on the Employee Cycle podcast today.
Of course. And today is your very first podcast, so we're going to make this very, very special for you.
Sounds great. I'm excited.
All right. So, Rebecca, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, and that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Wow, it's a great question. We could do a podcast just on that, I think, for any HR professional. But I stumbled into it, didn't know that it was what I wanted to do, and definitely was not what I went to school for. So went to school for psychology and majored in psychology and French. And while HR includes and uses a lot of that psychology background, it is definitely just where I landed and stumbled into in my career. I quickly learned after working in client services that the clients and customers I cared the most about were the internal employees. And I felt time after time I was being pulled in that direction and wanting to help make a workplace better for an employee, a manager direct report relationship stronger, a culture even more incredible for a company, and really focus in those areas. And so over time, I did more and more internal work and eventually landed on an HR path and have been there for about 8 years now and absolutely love it.
Awesome. Today, we're going to discuss the intersection of HR and crisis communication. So before we talk about how they overlap and how they should work together, I first want to get from you, how did you define crisis communication? What is it? When does it happen? Who typically manages that process?
Great question. So crisis communication means different things to different people. To me, it's about communicating what's going on in the business in the way that it intersects with the crisis to the key stakeholders that matter. So when you think about COVID-19 and the crisis that we're in right now, key stakeholders could be anyone from your employees to your customers, to your employee families, because this is, if we're all being totally honest, a crisis that has impacted the full picture in a way that some don't. Definitely your regionally specific communications matter a lot because each region is in a different stage of the crisis. So your key stakeholders are primarily your customers and your employees as it relates to COVID. And so your communication plan has to align with those key stakeholders. It's almost always going to involve the CEO in some way, shape, or form, and HR plays a really important role in all of these crisis communications as well, because we're often the internal communicator with our teams. I work for RepTrack, and at our core, we analyze and measure corporate reputation. We have data on thousands of companies and what matters to them in terms of reputation, how to communicate in crisis specifically, and our data has showed throughout this crisis that people want to hear from the CEO just as much as they want to hear from HR.
That is very interesting. And so when it comes to dealing with a crisis like COVID, I have to ask, if you had to grade most companies on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being, what the hell were you thinking? 10 being, wow, you've definitely set a model for how other companies should operate when they follow dealing with a crisis internally and externally. From all the companies that you've been exposed to and you're aware of, how would you grade most companies?
Yeah, it's a good question. We try not to speak poorly of the companies that we measure, but we have, what I will say is we have seen that full spectrum. So we have seen companies in crisis that have excelled and will become stronger as a result of this pandemic. And we've seen companies in crisis that are completely crumbling and they're communicating in the wrong ways to the wrong people about the wrong things. And we all know it when we see it. We get that email from a company and it just sits wrong. It feels tone deaf. It feels like they don't know what's going on in the world. And the companies that we see excelling, they're really focused on being vulnerable, being authentic, being credible in their communications, and just being really aware of what's going on. I would say on average, I would say that, you know, companies are coming in around 7 or 8. So I think everyone's doing the best that they can, and we're getting most of the key information out there.
So you just mentioned 3 different attributes that companies should have as they're dealing with their crisis communication strategy: being vulnerable, being authentic, and being credible. So I would actually like to go through those 3 things for you to talk about what does it mean to be those. So let's start with being vulnerable. What does a vulnerable company look like?
To me, vulnerability comes from being authentic and honest. And so it's sharing your fears, sharing your struggles. When we look at our data, we actually see that when a company is perceived as genuine, it leads to a 2.9-point lift in their reputation score. The challenge is all companies say they're vulnerable or say they're authentic and honest. Everyone says, you know, we lead with honesty. And the bigger question is, what does that really mean? How do you actually do that? And in times of crisis, for HR professionals, as we're thinking through internal communication, there's another question of how much do we disclose? How much honesty do we operate with? To me, that authenticity is really important. It's how we communicate, what emotions we bring to the surface, and the honesty ties to what we're communicating, the facts, the content, what we choose to put in our message. So when we think about COVID specifically and the craziness that we're all in the middle of right now, I keep thinking about this word unprecedented that we hear over and over and over again. It doesn't feel very authentic to me. It doesn't feel really vulnerable. To me, unprecedented is the commercial, the article, the company's way of describing what's going on. The emotional, authentic, vulnerable, honest way to do it is like, this is really tough. Everyone's dealing with something that's horrible. It's sad. It's challenging. It's frustrating. Everyone's balancing things that they had never had to balance before. It's scary. This is a pandemic with health risks and all sorts of things. It's surprising. No one was planning for it. I think it's just messy. It's super messy and hard. And everyone's talking about it being unprecedented and it feels so formal. And that just doesn't feel authentic to me in the way that I would recommend that we're all operating. So those more emotional words, hard, scary, surprising, it's just so much more real than talking about mitigating an unprecedented crisis.
So I know the next variable that we're going to talk about was being authentic. But it's interesting because it almost seems like you're using vulnerable and authentic interchangeably.
Yeah.
So as you talk about being authentic, could you also describe the difference, but also the similarities between being vulnerable and being authentic?
Yeah, it's a good question. Vulnerability is bringing yourself into those communications and talking about the things that scare you and your fears and opening up yourself and leading with that level of openness will bring vulnerability to your communications. Authenticity is about how you describe it, the emotional words you're using, and honesty, again, is just that fact-based, what you choose to put in your message, what you choose to share. They're all really closely linked, and they all do definitely work interchangeably. It is possible to be vulnerable without being authentic. That's your common fake person. They act like they're sharing a lot about themselves, but they're not being honest or authentic. It's also possible to be authentic and honest without being vulnerable. So you're describing it, but you're not really digging deep enough into yourself and talking about your true emotions. So for me, it's bringing all three of those to the table that makes the communication feel the most real.
Got it. And then the last point around being credible. What does a credible organization look like?
Credibility comes from a couple different things. I think reliable communications are important, and just doing what you say you're going to do matters a lot when you think about being credible. Pulling in real, authentic, frequent, consistent communications builds that reliability. So I always say good news travels fast, bad news travels faster. Employees will fill the gaps whether or not you're communicating, and the story will tell itself even if you're not communicating. And you need to have that regular and consistent cadence of communications to help build that reliability. Our data talks about having, during crisis specifically, having this regular cadence of communications will increase your reputation score by 5.5 reputation points. When we think back to the first stat I shared, being genuine would increase your score by 2.9. This effect is almost twice that, just from providing regular and frequent updates on crisis and COVID and everything that you're doing. So the reliability piece is super important to establish that credibility with your communication. And then just the other piece of actually doing what you say you're going to do. I always say don't make promises you can't keep. That's true always. It's good in business, good in life. In a crisis specifically, that oftentimes means you can't make promises at all. So we saw, it's tough though. I know I say that and I'm like, well, how the heck are we supposed to make employees feel okay when we can't make any promises? We saw businesses come forward in March with no layoff pledges, and we commit to doing that, we commit to doing this. And as the crisis has unfolded, we've all seen them kind of walk that back, and some of them will have to walk that back. That right there will chip away at that credibility in your communication. So saying you're going to do one thing and having to walk it back. In a crisis, it's unpredictable. It's crazy. We're making 100% of our decisions with only 50% of the information we usually have. So we just can't think long-term in the same way we used to.
Back when I was in college, I was a communication study major with an emphasis in PR. And so despite all of the people who I had all these classes with wanting to be in PR to think that they're going to do PR for Justin Bieber or some entertainer, you quickly realize that most PR actually does deal with real issues like crisis communication, as a lot of it is around companies like Tylenol or car companies always dealing with a crisis, whether a kid choked on a toy or swallowed a pill or faulty brakes in a car. And so with that being said, typically, crisis communication is dealt with and managed by the PR team. And so as we're talking about this intersection of HR and crisis communication, I'm curious, how does HR play its part and manage or own some of that process when typically it's done by PR or at least a marketing person?
It's a really good point. And everyone does have to be aligned. So the CEO and leadership team, the PR and communications team, and the HR team all need to be aligned in that crisis communication and sharing that same message. And again, it fuels that credibility I was just talking about. They, to me, address different stakeholders. The CEO and the PR team are thinking externally to the clients, to the general public. How is this crisis and my reaction and response to this crisis being perceived in the market? The HR function comes in when you think about that intersection of internal communications as it relates to the crisis. So I'm not seeing a lot of HR leaders out at the forefront talking with customers in the external world about COVID. I am seeing them really heavily involved in the crisis communications internally, thinking through policy changes, thinking through pandemic preparedness, thinking through return to office and phased return to work where it's safe to do so. All the questions around employee leave and PPE and all of that a lot of that runs through HR because it's that intersection of people, culture, talent, and workplace.
Got it. So when it comes to HR trying to figure out what this internal crisis communication strategy is, can you walk the listeners of this podcast and this interview through the process of figuring out where to start? I mean, everyone has already went through this, so I'm curious that if they could hit the redo button, regardless of how well they did, how should they have started the process, and maybe they can revise their strategy moving forward? What does that look like?
Yeah. So I think everyone would love a redo process for COVID, especially, and be able to start over. I think for HR as an industry, we learned a lot managing the early phases of this crisis. We're a global company, so we have offices in Europe. And I know that like our office in Italy, for example, and our office in London and Spain, those were hit at a very different timing than our offices in the US. And so even just like having that wave, I'll say, come through helped prepare us a little bit, but we still made tons of mistakes. And there are tons of things I'd love to do differently. When I think about where to start, it really comes down to having situational awareness of what's going on and taking a step back. So in crisis, our human response is to try and do something. We need to do something to feel like we're addressing the crisis, to regain some control. The actual best practice is to take a step back, think strategically about how to respond, and build a plan that fits your use case scenarios. Again, it's so hard to do that in crisis because we're in panic mode, but that's actually what we should be doing as a business, is taking a step back. Situational awareness in COVID specifically means understanding the implications of the pandemic on the employee and the entire employee life. Working from home, having family members like just in a room away also trying to work from home, having employees get and have a COVID positive diagnosis and managing that, ensuring a safe workplace because the pandemic is so scary for people. So there's all these other aspects of it that have nothing to do with work product that come into play when you do the situational awareness analysis for a pandemic like COVID. It's totally different. And of those factors, the home life integration is the one that stuck out to us the most in terms of its impact on the team. So one of the things I recommend is always get feedback from the team. You can't build your crisis plan by yourself. You need to incorporate that feedback from the team to really have a good understanding of what the situation is from the full picture. The best businesses have crisis management plans in place before something like this happens. But the reality is not everyone can do that, especially smaller businesses don't have the resources to do that. So a lot of businesses were just dealing with it as it came in. But if we had a redo button, I would say to focus on being holistic in our approach, not reactive to an individual region or an individual issue, and really taking a step back and saying, what does this mean for the business? What does this mean for our employees? And how do we form a plan that addresses all of it?
And then last question, because unfortunately, none of us have this awesome redo button.
Yeah.
And if someone does have a plan for it, then I would love to work with them on it. That would be awesome. But because we don't have that ability, and there might be a lot of HR leaders filled with regret on how they potentially manage the process, what would you say to them to let them know that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and that regardless of what transpired before, they do still have the ability to right the ship and make things more positive moving forward?
So every HR professional has that ability to make things more positive moving forward every day. It's really part of what we come to work to do, is how can we make this workplace better for our team and for our customers, for the business, for our clients. So that is still true, even though we're in COVID crisis mode, pandemic mode, still true, still a core part of our job. COVID has been one of our most brutal teachers, and it's been especially tough on HR professionals. You know, so many businesses had to look at terminating employees, doing layoffs, furloughing business units. All of that takes a toll on an HR professional, and it's hard to come into work and be excited when you're dealing with bad news day after day. I'll be vulnerable for a minute because that's part of what I spoke about at the beginning, but you know, one of our strengths as HR professionals has this ability to be strong in tough moments. And I do remember a moment in the middle of a series of, you know, five terminations. I had two more to go. And I just remember getting off the Zoom call and hunching over my desk and trying to find air and just wondering, like, am I ruining these people's lives, you know, by having to fire them during this pandemic? And just, it feels so different than any termination that we've ever done before. And so I think first I would say to HR professionals, like, just acknowledge this has been tough and what you're going through is really hard, and that's okay to feel that way. The flip side of that is the work that you're doing as an HR professional has never been more important than it is right now. Your business relies on you, your team relies on you. For the first time, we have a seat at the table, and it's just kind of an incredible opportunity to really put workplace right in that conversation. So chin up and go forth into the next day, trying to make it even better than the day before. And know that for every HR professional that's struggling, there's a whole community out there of HR professionals going through the same thing. And we all want to be there, support each other, and we're all in it together. Better workplaces, better tomorrows.
Rebecca, I couldn't have ended this better myself. Thanks for sharing all of those positive words of encouragement and for being such an awesome podcast guest. And most importantly, practicing what you preach in real time by being vulnerable yourself so that other HR leaders can understand that everyone can do a better job regardless of how things were done before. So thanks for all of that. Really appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, Bruce. So it's great to join, and best of luck with everything, and hope it's valuable.
Awesome. And you definitely nailed your first podcast interview. So we can't that. So Rebecca, where can people find you and RepTrack online?
Great question. RepTrack.com. We have tons of information about our business for anyone interested in actually measuring their reputation. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. I love interacting with the HR community and beyond. So find me, my first name, Rebecca, and my last name, Riot, and we'll connect.
Awesome. So for all of you listening out there, if you enjoyed this podcast around this very interesting and important topic, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes because it shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if you came to this episode because you are already a super fan of Rebecca and you just had to hear what she was going to say, or you thought that this topic was super compelling, but now you're interested and hungry for more interviews, then please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or all other major podcast players and subscribe to the Employee Cycle Podcast. And last but not least, all of you amazing HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.